The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
Welcome to the Ponderosa, my friends, for an evening of songs and stories about the American West.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. I'm Jeff. This is JC.
Hello.
This here, right there, is Taylor.
Hi.
Hey, buddy. A lot of news this week. One of the articles we're not touching on, because I'm waiting to see how it shakes out, is the rescheduling of THC. From Schedule 1 to Schedule 3, which I think is very, very happy-making. I do.
No.
Wouldn't that be nice if you could just buy your pot at the gas station, like a pack of smokes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not, like, have to pay $100-plus dollars to the state of Utah each time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Utah figure out a way to make you pay $100 each time.
Yeah, yes. You end up paying $10, $20 a pack.
I mean, hell, we had an amendment that took away liquor in this country, and then we amended the amendment to allow liquor in the country. Utah still found a way to screw us out of getting liquor. So I'm sure whatever the law they write, we'll leave it up to some states to decide what they're going to do.
You just made me think of a wildly inappropriate punchline to a joke that I can't tell on this show.
On this show. Caffeine.
Yeah, well, okay. What do you call four lesbians in a closet?
Mm.
A liquor cabinet.
Ah.
Nice.
That's all. That's the joke.
Nice.
That's all. I have more. And
I was like, why couldn't you tell it on the show? Oh, that's why. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, my jokes along that line just get worse and worse as we go.
Yep.
So I'll stop, and then if we remember, I'll tell you in the break when I'm not recording. Because, look, I talk a lot of damaging shit about myself on here, but there's just some areas I'm not going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to go, because people will be upset, and it's a dumb thing to be upset about, and we have real things to be upset about right now, like Republicans. Mm-hmm. Fucking Republicans. I don't know if you guys have heard of them or not yet. They're bad news.
They're usually bad news.
They are. The Bloods, the Crips, M16. No, what are the MI5, M23? What are the ones? What are the Hispanic guys that the Republicans are all afraid of?
MK Ultra? No, I said it.
It was close. And then the GOP, the KKK. I'm just basically, terrorist groups at this point.
Y'Al-Qaeda.
Yep.
I was calling the bougie Taliban.
No, I'll take that. I will.
Mm-hmm.
I like American Taliban.
MS-13.
Yeah, all the times they've caused me problems. Don't get me wrong. I realize they're bloodthirsty killers and all that. But, that could be a result of not being able to find money through regular work and humane treatment.
That
makes people do dumb shit. It absolutely does. So what do you guys, anything new, anything we need to talk about before we get into the news?
No, don't think so.
No.
Well, you guys are chatty today.
No. I already told you that 2 second interviews, they're both pretty eager about me. Very stoked.
Well, of course they are. You're a catch.
They both called me that same day to schedule seconds.
All right, then you and I are going to have a talk after the show is over. Is that cool? Can I have 5 minutes at the end?
Yeah. Okay. For sure.
Thanks, buddy. So yeah, schedule one to schedule three. That's one of the big stories that we're skipping this week. The hurricane down in Florida, the hurricane in California, those are stories we're skipping this week. Honestly, because mainstream news is handling it just fine. On the other hand, DeSantis wouldn't meet with Biden because he's a small, petty little man.
But he'll take the money.
But he realizes or remembers, especially given the debate here from a couple of nights ago, that when Obama went to New Jersey to give them money after the hurricane, Chris Christie gave him a quick hug saying, thank you for helping out the people of New Jersey, to which Obama said, it's all right. And I'm so sad that didn't impress Taylor. I'm just looking right there. I thought that would, I thought that was my moment of the show. But no, you know, Obama brought the coin, and Chris Christie was like, thank you for the coin. And then Republicans are like, you said thank you to a black fella in a tan suit. And that's where we're at right now. Because what was it, Vivek?
Fucking tan suit.
Ramaswamy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stole lines from an Obama speech, and then turned around and threw that hug at Chris Christie when Chris Christie was like, "You're stealing lines from Obama's speech, Melania. I mean, Vivek."
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, you guys remember that, right?
Yeah, I remember Melania ripping off Michelle Obama. Yeah.
And then he also sang Eminem at one of his rallies. Eminem sent him a cease and desist, and Candace Owens went after him. Eminem.
What was it? He said in an interview, Vivek said in an interview, that Eminem was soothing for him to rap. And that's why it was his favorite go-to rap for his his hip-hop alter ego. I think it was Little Viv. I don't quite remember the name. Dark Viv or some shit.
I thought that was just the name of his penis.
Dark Vec.
Nice.
Anyway, as some dumb like rapper alter ego. You know what I don't have? A rap alter ego.
A rap alter ego, yeah.
I mean, by this point in my life, you'd think I would have invented one, but Run DMC and Beastie Boys hit the scene, and I was like, yeah, no, I can't. No, can't.
Yeah,
I can't. There's no way I can recite poetry that fast.
It was perfect.
I come from the Shatner School of Theatrics. I can't do poetry that fast.
I love it. I can't wait for Eminem to write or just say anything to Candace Owens.
Oh, there you go.
Because he really hates people, and then he will just go after them and tear them apart. Usually ruin their careers. She can ruin her own on it.
That's fair.
Like by herself, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
She's done a good job of it so far.
That's the hope, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, maybe not here, but, you know.
Jimmy Buffett died.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Buffett has passed away. If you'd like to hear me make off-color jokes about people dying, you could tune in every Tuesday to the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com, where, for some reason, we've turned the first 15 minutes of the show into, hey, here's all the cool shit I did this week, and here's everybody that died.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that sums it up?
That pretty much sums it up. Yeah.
Yeah, because we used to do entertainment news right there, and for some reason, we've reached a period where the only thing happening in entertainment is strikes and dead old people, and some not old people, like Ray Stevenson. But I did a light rewatch last night of the first two episodes of Ahsoka, and watching Ray Stevenson's making me sad. And then you wake up and you find out that Cheeseburger in Paradise has passed away. And you got to wonder, you know, how's that feel? Cheeseburger in Paradise. Love that song. Love that song. Forgot it existed until halfway through talking about Jimmy Buffett and then remembered that I love that song. Margaritaville as well. He was a nice guy. But the thing is about Buffett is Buffett was a lefty. I don't know how you didn't know that. I don't know how any Republican can.
How do you not know that?
Can look at a guy that
they just
doesn't
don't know anybody. They just assume all of them are.
Yeah. He sings songs about having a drink on the beach. Are you shitting me? This dude is against global warming. He doesn't want his beaches going away. You know, he doesn't worship money. Yeah. He just wants to kick back and have a nice time. If that's not the left, I don't know what is. We get pissy when we have to go fight. That's one of the reasons we're good when we finally hit the ground with our signs. That's why our signs are so fucking entertaining. It's because we're mad. Tight. And when we get mad on the left, we're funny. We're pretty funny. Yep. You know, when they get mad on the right, they blow shit up and kill people. Just saying.
That's true.
Those of you that say there's no difference between the two parties, I don't know. How do you feel about going to the Dollar General now? Anyway, once upon a time, Jimmy Buffett pissed off a bunch of Republicans when a buddy of his ran to be for something in Florida. It was 2018. And it was Andrew Gillum's gubernatorial campaign in Florida. And so he rewrote a couple of his songs to take a couple of swings at the right, changed the lyrics to Margaritaville to say, some people say there's a red tide to blame, but I know it's all Rick Scott's fault. Boom! You got buried down in Margaritaville, motherfucker. And then come Tuesday, things will change. Come Tuesday, we're making a change. It's been two insane years, and it's time to really switch gears.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, parts of his fan base, those that don't like good things or think that Darth Vader is the protagonist.
are just boomers who watch too much fucking Fox News. Yep. That's really it. Yeah.
I prefer to blame the Star Wars fans and the wrong ones.
Why not both?
Yeah. Why not both? Everybody knows that the hero of the Star War is Princess Leia's
Anakin.
Hairdo in the first movie.
Just kidding, guys.
Yep.
Yeah, we had about the same answer. They're both evil. I mean, I've never been able, I have never in my, since childhood, been able to look at a cinnamon roll and not think of Carrie Fisher. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. What else do we got? Yes, I am using an ad blocker. Yes, let me turn that off. Sorry, thought I'd done that already. I apologize, everybody. This is really exciting radio. Two Southern Utah YouTube influencers have been arrested after an emancipated child bound in duct tape escaped the home and asked the neighbors for something to eat and some water.
Holy shit.
Yeah. On Wednesday, two suspects...
The sex trafficking over the border is a problem. We got to protect those kids.
Oh, no, this isn't sex trafficking. This is just child torture.
Yeah, just basically child abuse.
Yeah, thank God they weren't allowed to change their gender markers, I guess. Two suspects, Jody Ann Hildebrandt, 54, of Ivins, Utah, and Ruby Franca, 41, of Springville, were arrested and booked into jail on two second-degree felony aggravated child abuse charges. Charges were submitted after St. George Emergency Dispatch received a report that a juvenile had climbed out of a window of the Ivins residence, run to a neighbor's house, asked for food and water. Franca, the mother of six and wife of Kevin Franca, and Hildebrandt, the named co-defendant, now face six counts of aggravated child abuse, intentionally or knowingly. They haven't had their first appearance in court, and as we record this, neither of them is out on bail. They're in custody down at the Purgatory Correctional Facility in Hurricane, Utah. The caller, the neighbor, said that the boy was under the age of 13 and showed up at their door requesting food and water, and they saw duct tape on his wrists and ankles and called 911. He was emancipated with open wounds and duct tape around his extremity. And that's what the officers found when they hit the scene. Now, this is a serious story. This is a terrifying story. This is a story of children being hurt and children being abused. And I read through it and I am angry. I am enraged. You know, I'm doing my best here to just try and control my temperament when I read something like this. And then I find out that the PIO at the St. George Police Department's name is Jared Studley. Are you fucking kidding me? I got to deal with that shit in the middle of this. I'm just reading through. Studley. What? Is it the 80s? Am I in Spanish Fork and my brother's talking about himself again? What's going on? So anyway, Jaron Studley. God damn it. Oh, fuck. Can you imagine junior high for this dude? Anyway, during a search of the resident, police found a second child in a similar malnourished state. The child was transported to the hospital by ambulance. Hildebrandt was found to be in direct care of a boy who was staying in her home, authorities say. In the bathroom, investigators found gauze that appeared to have been used and then tossed. Franca, who co-hosts alongside Hildebrandt in her YouTube channel, Connections, which I'm going to talk about here in just a second, was reportedly seen on a YouTube video filmed in a downstairs room of Hildebrandt's home 2 days before the 911 call. This led to a suspicion that Franca was aware the children were being abused, starved, and neglected. So basically, what this lady, her original show was called Eight Passengers, which is about her husband, and her six kids. And she films videos of herself being heavy-handed and abusive to her children, being just an absolute awful fucking person, you know, to her kids. And that went on for a while. And then earlier this year, after reports of people telling YouTube that there was abuse happening, YouTube did what corporates do and just cut the content instead of calling the cops.
Yep.
Right. By the way, every single fucking one of you that called YouTube or hit the report button, I mean, great. Good for you. Look what you did. You clicked. Okay? Every fucking one of you had the ability, if you were clicking, to go to fucking Google and to look up the number for the police department in this area. I don't know who the fuck these people are. This isn't the kind of shit that I watch. I don't know. But if I were to see that and I were to have suspicions, instead of just telling YouTube to pull the fucking content, I would have gone one or two fucking extra steps to call a cop and see if I couldn't. Because all of you people that have for the last few years had deep suspicions about her and her friend, you didn't really do anything at all other than go, I don't like it, click, and then move on to your next goddamn thing. Now, while you're better than those who did nothing, you are still on that side for doing so far from enough. Anyway, I read another article about this that just kind of went through the whole thing. You know, people have been talking about these two since they started the Connection show. They've been talking about the other lady since the Eight Passengers, you know. And basically what you have is kids living a fucking horror movie for years while this lady made a bank being a fucking influencer. It's disgusting. Do more. Be better.
Oh, and their whole thing was empowering you to have your best life.
Yeah, your best life is basically duct taping your kid to the wall in the fucking basement so you can go make movies with your idiot friend who's driven down from fucking Springville to watch you torture your children. Live your best life, you piece of shit. I want you to be better, and all you want to be is be best.
I just felt like this is such a common thing.
I don't know. I never tied my kids up.
I know, but like people just think it's so funny to torment their children. At least like, I don't know. This is going way too far, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can't do that as a person. You can't do that. But like the new egg challenge. It's like, why is everybody fucking with their kids?
I would break an egg on my kid's head. I just don't know that I'd film it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, I mean, I've had no problem whatsoever fucking with my kids over the years, but Jesus Christ, am I going to point a phone at them while I do it and make money off it? You know, Christ, I can't even take a picture of one of my kids and put it on the internet without he gets pissed at me. So I'm just saying. Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon. Let's see, who else? Seth Meyers. what's his name from the other show? Jimmy Kimmel and John Jimmy Oliver Kimmel. Launched a podcast last week called the Strike Force 5 podcast, in which the five of them get on and talk about the strike. Now, what they're doing with the podcast is raising money to give to the people that work for them. You've already got it in the bank. Anyway, Ryan Reynolds Ryan Reynolds came to the rescue with like three of his businesses, you know, including Aviation Gin and Mint Mobile, to do this. It's only, as far as I can find it, on Spotify. I looked for it other places and couldn't find it. I found it on Spotify. But yeah, it's the hosts of Late Night with Stephen Colbert, Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Late Night with Seth Meyers, and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. They sit around and tell funny stories. As much as I want to hate it, and I do want to hate it.
Yeah.
Look, celebrities getting into podcasting is much like karaoke in the 90s. It just destroys local talent. That's all.
Yeah.
This is for a good cause, and I don't want to get pissed. And the truth is that when I was listening to it in the car, these guys were cracking me the fuck up, and it pissed me off. I was more mad that I was laughing that hard than I was about anything else that day. It's fun. It's fun. They're going to do 12 episodes. You know, when you're done with the Left Show and then the comic book show, then you can go over and listen to Strike Force 5. And then pretending it's the comic book show for a minute, we have an obituary for you. Joe the Plumber, Douche Canoe, who looked like a date rapist, looked like.
Yep.
I don't know that he was, and I'm not saying that he was.
Just looked like one.
I'm just saying he's the kind of guy that if he buys you a drink at a bar and you don't put out, he sends you a request for a Venmo for the drink. That's what Joe the Plumber comes across as.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not anymore, because Wurzelbacker is dead. There you go. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
When we get back on the other side, I don't know what he died of. I don't give a shit.
Cancer.
Yeah, the guy just makes me think of fucking Sarah Palin, and that just makes me mad.
Mm-hmm.
Unless thinking of Sarah Palin makes me think of Lisa Ann, and then that makes me happy. We're taking a break.
He was the actor that almost cost Obama the election.
Yep.
Yeah.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com DEFEN Media.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
A 15-year-old was at an event with Ron DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
She asked Ron DeSantis a question. Ron DeSantis then sent his campaign staff over to bug, bother, and harass a 15-year-old kid. Quinn Mitchell, New Hampshire resident who's passionate about politics. Since he lives in the first in the nation state, he has ample opportunities to ask presidential candidates questions. Since the vagaries of our system demand that anyone aspiring to the presidency has to spend months dragging themselves through the miserable New England cold to be inspected like a side of beef in every overheated middle school cafeteria and retirement community between Portsmouth and Canada. That's true. Fuck. New England.
I don't know how cold it is in New England right now, but okay.
Oh, you'll see.
Yep.
Anyway, Mitchell, Quinn Mitchell, went viral earlier this summer when he asked DeSantis a question. He asked DeSantis if he believed Donald Trump, quote, violated the peaceful transfer of power, a key principle in American democracy that we must uphold, end quote, on January 6th. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So naturally, DeSantis didn't answer it. You know?
And then he tried to recreate January 6th on this kid, basically.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, the kid says he feels bad that DeSantis got a negative reaction. So you ask a candidate a question. Mm-hmm. The candidate basically runs in circles and kicks himself in the weenie to not answer it. A viral video pops up. Right. Which will mm-hmm. do, if you're running even a mildly serious campaign, this mm-hmm. comes and goes, you know. And then we get from the Daily Beast, that's when things went south. right after the handshake, Mitchell recalled his shock when he felt a firm tug on his shirt, pulling him away from the governor, DeSantis. Suddenly, mm-hmm. all he could see were outstretched arms of security guards and plain-clothed aides. If that were not startling enough, right after the fracas, a DeSantis security guard cornered Mitchell and ordered him not to move from the spot for another 5 minutes. In response, he did what any 15-year-old would do. He texted his mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, the article says a lot of teenagers would have recorded the encounter and put it on TikTok with some snarky commentary. But the kid didn't do that because he was there seriously. He was asking a mm-hmm. fucking question. He wasn't there to be a rabble-rouser. Right. So instead of defusing the situation, the Florida First Lady suggested to Mitchell's mother that she was overreacting and that her son was lying.
Oh, nice.
Well, I'm a mother, too, Casey said, according to Mitchell and other witnesses, along with multiple sources who shared contemporaneous communications on the incident. It says, I know what you're experiencing, and we're all very afraid for our children, even if they're exaggerating. Wasn't the first that he saw a pair of security guards flanking him. He's made his way to the far side of the venue. The weird part was the Never Back Down staffers were taking photos of him. It was notable to Mitchell, even before he learned of the ominous caption, "Got our kid," that one staffer was seen attaching to a Snapchat photo. It's a child. It's a precocious mm-hmm. child. Who asked you a question,
right.
And what you did was have grown fucking adults throw him into a corner, scare him with uniforms, and treat him like he was some sort of a fucking plague carrier.
Mm-hmm.
That's DeSantis. DeSantis.
And they're only getting away with it because he is a 15-year-old child.
Yeah. DeSantis yeah. can't handle a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
A teenager. What do you think Putin's going to do to fucking DeSantis when he walks in the room and he sees that this guy has less of a spine than fucking Trump does?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Trump
He's
would just
smile and say, everything will be mine now.
Trump would be an asshole to the kid on face to face. Ron DeSantis yeah. has to get his buddies to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seriously, Ron? Why don't you have your security guards come and put me in a corner? Let's do that, buddy.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, Ron.
Well, I was just thinking, if you or I were to be there and ask the question, we wouldn't see a security guard coming at us. You know, they might bring cops over to deal with this.
Nah.
But I don't think we'd see security guards. But to, you know, a 15-year-old asks a question that he doesn't want to answer. And, all you know, it's, like I said, he can do it because it's a 15-year-old. He knows he's going to be able to get away with it. Whereas yeah. somebody like you or me, it'd be like, please try to put baby in a corner, yep. you know?
Security guard, no problem. Cop, yes, sir. No, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, we'll go. Yeah.
Yeah. So DeSantis is running against Trump. Well, technically, he's filed the paperwork. I wouldn't say his campaign's running against anybody other than himself. But, I mean, seriously, let me just take a step aside for a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, as a guy that has run both successful and unsuccessful campaigns over the last 30 years, holy shit, what the fuck is going on with DeSantis' campaign? What a train wreck.
And yet it's resonating with people.
I have run... Yeah. I have run campaign. I ran a congressional campaign in the early 2000s. In total, we raised $32,000. We raised $16,000 of that after I took over in the last 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we still took 38% of the vote. But we had nothing. We had fucking nothing. DeSantis has spent so much money, he had to fire half his staff. They've had that much money and they're running a campaign. I would happily and easily stick my 2004 congressional run against.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of messaging discipline, you know, and fuck it, knowing what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. It's blowing my mind. And it's like, I'm sitting over here right now, this very minute, as we record this show, right? $1,000 would save my life. $50,000 would change my life forever because I'd be able to get out from under all his debt and move forward, right? $50,000. He's paying a guy like $250,000 to run this for him? I could run as a sabotage campaign manager and do a better job for DeSantis on accident than these people are doing for him on purpose. Running for him to lose, I'd be polling better numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Running,
running for him to lose.
I once did. I put together a campaign package for myself to run for Congress a few years ago, and it was just me hate fucking myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you want this guy in Congress? And then name a bunch of reasons and then just do like that. and yeah. I put it all together and then was like, yeah, I don't want to run for Congress. It turns out I don't want to. And you would need somebody with a pretty caustic sense of humor to get away with me putting this plan together. But it's basically a package I could drop on anybody's lap. And as long as they had a sense of humor about themselves, which I have yet to find in politics, especially in Utah. You know, but I thought that would be a fun little thing. And like I said, even doing that,
mm-hmm.
I could run a better campaign than this. But he's running against Trump. But somebody down in Florida, a Florida man whom I'm not making fun of, has filed paperwork and is suing to disqualify Trump under the 14th Amendment.
Mm.
The fact that Trump's running is almost certainly a Hail Mary bid to stay out of prison, scam his followers out of more money, and force the government to continue paying for all the ketchup he's throwing from wall to wall.
Yes.
But yeah, in his lawsuit, tax attorney Lawrence Kaplan. Isn't there a famous Lawrence Kaplan that's not this guy?
I don't know.
Who wrote Empire Strikes Back?
Larry Kasdan.
Kasdan. That's where I'm at. Thanks, buddy. Anyway, Lawrence Kaplan notes that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which was passed after the Civil War to keep America hating racists like Jefferson Davis and Trump out of office, is applicable to Trump and his dreams of gifting Ukraine, the United States, and half of Congress to Vladimir Putin. Now that Trump mm-hmm. has been indicted in two different jurisdictions for failed election stealing, Kaplan argues that it's time to act. In quote, President Trump's efforts, both in Washington as well as in Georgia and perhaps other states, as well as the consequential assault on the U.S. Capitol, make him ineligible to ever serve in federal office again. Given that the facts seem to be crystal clear that Trump was involved to some extent in the insurrection that took place on January 6th, the sole remaining question is whether American jurists who swear an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution upon their entry to the bench will choose to follow the letter of the Constitution in this case. And there's a lot of people out in the world that are like, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling as we move forward, you're going to see more and more of these particular kinds of lawsuits in different states to try and keep Trump off the ballot.
Mark, I'm trying to remember his last name. The guy who got us gay, you know, basically made gay marriage legal in the world because of his lawsuit here in Utah.
Oh, Mark Lawrence.
Mark Lawrence was talking today about, you have to speak to our, what is it? The state, Secretary of State or whatever it is.
Our Attorney General.
Well, it's the, he said it's Secretary of State in most states. And he said, here's the SOC office and what they say. And somebody pointed out, yeah, the SOC for Utah is the Lieutenant Governor. He goes, oh, that would explain why there's no name on this website for the SOC in Utah.
Yeah, normally a Secretary of State would handle elections in Utah, knowing that the Lieutenant Governor does fuck all.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I don't know, give dummy something to do.
Yeah.
You know, and then dummy did it for years and years. And then some of those dummies went on to become actual governor dummies.
Yep.
You know, what's her name? What was the only woman to be a Utah governor? What was her name?
I can't remember her name. That teacher.
Yeah.
Oline Walker.
Yeah, Oline Walker is pretty much in. She was a Republican stooge, too, make no mistake. But she's the only one of those lieutenant governors I'm not going to call stupid. Because the truth is, I met her a couple of times, and I really liked her. I did. You know, she was just she's just a sweet old lady who voted Republican out of habit, kind of. She wasn't.
I was going to say, she was everybody's grandma, basically, Oline. So, yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't, like, frothy-mouthed racist. She didn't hate the gay kids like fucking what's-her-name does. You know, Eagle Forum lady, Gail Ruzicka,
you know,
she was wrong on a whole bunch of stuff, and she was dumb in a lot of what she expressed in her viewpoints. Just because her viewpoints were dumb, she wasn't dumb. Just sometimes smart people can fall for dumb shit, you know. I don't know, I always consider myself kind of smart, and I was married for 20 years, so sometimes dumb shit happens.
Sometimes dumb things happen.
Hey, speaking of dumb things that have happened, Florida officials, we have found out due to some leaked documents, Florida officials were seeking opposing viewpoints, trying to find a way to blame slavery on Africans.
Yeah.
State officials rejected the course, saying they objected to studying concepts such as reparations, Black Lives Matter, Queer theory. Yeah.
Theory.
Yeah. Anyway, the Tampa Bay Times review of state commentary found that officials tried to sanitize the horrors of slavery and the challenges African Americans have faced throughout history. Quote, for example, a lesson in the advanced placement course focused on how Europeans benefited from the training enslaved people and the materials enslaved laborers produced, the journalists reported. The state objected to the content, saying that the instructional approach, quote, may lead to a viewpoint of an oppressor versus oppressed-based society based solely on race or ethnicity. Oh, you think all the white people and the Spaniards, which, let's face it, are white people, kidnapping folks from different parts of Africa and dragging them to other countries to work for free and be beaten and whipped and treated like, I don't know, apparently preteens in southern Utah?
And yes, there were dominant tribes that sold tribes they defeated in battle. They sold them as slaves, but that does not exonerate the white people. Oh, we were just consumers. No, you were slave owners. That's all there is to it.
State officials
in a slave trade.
Yeah, state officials also objected to another lesson plan on the origins of the transatlantic slave trade and plantation economy because the material might, quote, may only present one side of this issue and may not offer any opposing viewpoints or other perspectives on the subject, adding that the course may not address the internal slave trade system within Africa, and that it, quote, may only present one side of this issue and may not offer any opposing viewpoints or other perspectives on the subject, and therefore, they tanked it.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Patillo, a sociology professor and the department chair of Black Studies at Northwestern University, says there's no other perspective on slavery other than it was brutal. It was exploitative. It dehumanized black people. It boy, she's smart. She uses lots of big words. Expropriated their labor and wealth for generations to come. There is no other side to that in African-American studies. If there's another side, it may be some other field. I don't know what that field is, because I would argue there is no other side to that in higher education. The documents were provided to journalists for review by the left-leaning organization American Oversight, which sued the state Department of Education for the records. Quote, we sued the Florida Department of Education to shed light on the DeSantis administration's effort to whitewash American history and to turn classrooms into political battlegrounds. Awesome.
Wonderful. Yep.
And then to round up the segment, Jack Smith's team, people are asking for paper, is what they are. People are looking for paper. Jack Smith's team is asking questions of witnesses about how drunk Giuliani was while advising Trump. Which is fun.
Probably very.
That one's fun for me.
Just exactly on a scale of one to passed out on the floor, where was Giuliani? Yeah.
I would ask about anybody supporting Trump.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Jordan's looking for records on a special counsel attorney going to the White House. Jim Jordan seeking information about a White House meeting with a lawyer working with special counsel Jack Smith's office, fanning impartiality concerns regarding Smith's prosecution of the former President Trump. Jordan on Tuesday sent letters to Merrick Garland, who I still would like to impeach, White House Chief of Staff Jeff Zients, put a Z in it, I'm going to wonder how you say it, seeking information about communications between Jay Bratt, a DOJ chief of counterintelligence and export who control, who's also on the case concerning Trump's retention of classified documents and the White House, as well as all communications between the White House and the Justice Department relating to the special counsel investigation. And you know what? For one of the first times, Jim Jordan is, I mean, the reasons he's doing things are terrible, but on this one, yeah. I would like to know what the fuck the special counsel lawyer is doing over at the White House. If he's so important that he's got to have two job titles, you know, pick one for now. Don't fuck around with this. Do not fuck around with this. It's too important. It's too important to fuck around with. It's too important to be casual about. There's probably 100 different innocent reasons why this meeting took place, and it's wildly inappropriate and never should have happened. That's all there is to it.
Right. You're just setting it up for, you're setting the whole thing up for failure if you do that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just another goddamn deep space or deep state argument I got to fucking listen to from people I'm related to.
Exactly.
Hey, getting ready for that. Let's take another break and we'll get back on the other side. We're going to round up a little news from this week. I got some good stuff in here too.
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
this week on the world's greatest comic book podcast. We remember Bill Richardson and Jimmy Buffett.
Wasting away.
Jerry Conway revealed he's battling cancer.
Did anybody tell Tim?
SAG-AFTRA is preparing for a video game strike. In moving pictures, The Flash's debut on Max was almost a record low.
When you watch it, it takes you low.
The Goonies is returning to theaters.
We should all go together.
A Save Star Trek Prodigy banner was flown over Netflix and other streaming services. The Comics Distillery opened its online stores. Tom King is reimagining Animal Farm in a new series. You could get a year of free comics from Isaka Galadima's Clock Striker.
Do I have to read them backwards?
I don't want clocks in my shoes.
Review Sharp Wit and the Company of Women, Captain Marvel, Marvel Age 1000, and The Devil's Cut. All that and Barbie sticks it to the man!
Ooh, yeah!
Face Front True Believers is the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
You know, enjoying the statements made by beautiful women is basically how I spend my Sunday mornings.
Aw, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, this one's funny. This one is funny and it cracks me up. But the National Labor Relations Board voted in a new ruling for union representation proceedings. And so basically, and I am really dumbing this down, there's a lot of steps, but basically some employees decide they want to be in a union. They make some announcements. They hold some meetings. They do some education. They get together mm-hmm. with everybody. Everybody votes. You have to have a certain threshold for it to carry. And then once a union vote carries, basically the law says that the company has to deal with the union. They have to deal with union mm-hmm. representatives and negotiators and all of that, as opposed to employees one at a time. You know, it's pretty simple. The other side of that is while the employees are trying to put together the union to better take care of themselves and the people that they work with, bosses will try to break the support for the unions with union busting tactics, such as bullshit, more bullshit, sometimes violent bullshit. In the history of the United States, which I'm sure the Republicans just haven't gotten around to rewriting yet, is... We have a violent history against workers in this country. Murderous history against workers in this country.
Well, the reason why we have police departments, the original reason to create local city police was to break up unions. Not to catch bad guys, not to nail criminals. That was the job of the sheriff. The police were meant to deal with workers striking and forming unions. Yeah.
It's pretty gross. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the National Labor Relations Board passed a thing that basically says if you union bust, we'll just go ahead. We'll assume, you know, the vote won in favor of the union. And you now that just triggers that you have to deal with the union. You know, instead of being able to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on your union busting bullshit. Mm-hmm. If you fuck around, you will find out that they are now a union. And I like that. So yeah, Braxton and I formed a union. You know, because there was nobody to tell us no. I mean, it was a pretty quick vote, I got to be honest.
Yeah. You know,
and currently we're being ignored by management.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always kind of ignored by management. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. But management will have to deal with the union, which is the two of you.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just.
My joke has been I'd love to form a government contractors union, but they'll just say that's cute and go hire another contractor, you know, another contracting agency to do the job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since you don't have a contracting agency that's the same from contract to contract for some reason, you know. Who would your union even fucking complain to?
Right, exactly.
Because, you guys have a middleman.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
And we can't do anything about it. Yeah.
Jesus, at the Sermon on the Mount, as I recall, told us to be nice to one another. Did he not?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
The Sermon on the Mount. Yeah. The Sermon on the Mount, as I recall, was sort of a treat your neighbor as yourself kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I'm pretty hard on myself, and therefore my neighbors wonder why I'm so judgmental. I'm just doing what Jesus said. You know, just because I'm not nice to myself, does that change the rule? I don't know. But as I talk about Jesus telling us to go out into the world and treat one another with dignity and respect, certain parts of the American government have decided that this is good, and they want to put it on a challenge coin or whatever. So the National Security Agency has ordered that employees engaged in spying on other countries do so with dignity and respect.
Aw.
Digital rights advocate says this is like the CIA putting out a statement saying that by going forward, they'll only waterboard people with dignity and respect. I mean, what the fuck does that even mean? I mean, I don't even do it, but...
spy on them with dignity and respect. That's what we're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, zip it up, Johnson! Is what's her name? What was the supermodel wife? Bruni? Carla? Yeah. Carla Bruni? There'd be a joke here if, one, it was topical, two, it was relevant, three, it was timely, and four, if I could remember everybody's name. Otherwise, a pretty failed joke on that one. But, the old president of France's wife was a really hot supermodel. That was where I was going with that. The National Security Agency, shadowy hub for the United States electronic and cyber spying, has instructed its employees that foreign targets of intelligence gathering, quote, should be treated with dignity and respect, end quote, according to a new policy directive. A directive was released this summer as internal guidance. It's for the NSA's vaunted signals intelligence, or SIGINT, division, which is responsible for COVID surveillance and data collection worldwide. Quote, in recognition that SIGINT activities must take into account that all persons should be treated with dignity and respect, regardless of their nationality or wherever they may reside. Civil liberties experts say the PR-friendly directive is an attempt to mollify European partners and American critics amid a simmering congressional debate over whether to reauthorize the NSA's broad surveillance authorities. Experts also pointed out the absurdity that the NSA, an intelligence agency that specializes in electronic eavesdropping, included the interception of text messages and emails, could do so respectfully. Being that, he adds, all on his own. Yeah, it's disrespectful to spy on people. I'm not saying stop. I'm not. I'm just saying let's just be fucking reasonable about what we're doing here. You know, it's already disrespectful.
I can't say stop because that's what we kind of do. But, you know, just be respectful.
Yeah, there's no doubt we need the SIGINT that I like to say. I like to say SIGINT.
SIGINT.
Yep. Ironies in space. Clear Space One. Clear Space One is cleans up space debris in orbit. So they shoot this thing out there, you know.
It's our orbital janitor.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it got hit by space debris and broke into a bunch of pieces.
Somebody needs to clean up the janitor.
A leftover rocket adapter, expected to be removed from low Earth orbit in 2026, has new pieces of space debris floating nearby. That's a likely after effect of being hit by something small flying through space. The problem was spotted by the 18th Space Defense Squadron of the United States Space Force, which I will never be able to say with a straight face.
Space Force!
Space Force! Fuck up to the Space Force!
We love Space Force! Yeah!
Don't forget your moon boots! That's an old one for you Gen X kids out there. That one right there.
Fucking nerds.
Hey, look, I may be nerdy, but I'm not I joined Space Force nerdy.
Yeah.
Oh, good point.
Just saying.
Good point.
Nobody from the Space Force took care of that Chinese balloon, did they?
Nope.
Nope. I do believe that was the Air Force. You know what the Air Force has done that the Space Force hasn't? Sent folks into space.
Yeah, literally sent folks into space. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We call them test pilots and shit. That's what we do. And then when we stopped just doing test pilots, we did some science folk, but no Space Force. What are they called now? Guardians? No Guardians. Yes. No Guardians in space.
The Guardians of the Not Galaxy. Yes.
Okie dokie. They do the
Space Force.
The Arnold Rimmer salute.
Yes.
That's what it is. Anyway, an unexpected turn of events for the European Space Agency's Clear Space 1 mission, which is a planned test mission to remove the adapter in 2026. Instead, everything's all busted up. Fucking hilarious. I mean, it just really is.
It is pretty great.
Tucker Carlson keeps asking when Trump's going to be assassinated. Without any evidence whatsoever.
We were hoping all the hamburgers would do him in already, so no plans have been made.
You know what? That they haven't really gives me some sort of faith that I'm going to live past 70. I got to be honest.
Honestly, though, I've been asking myself this for quite some time also. Like,
why
hasn't he been?
Because the left doesn't assassinate people. That's the right wing that does it.
Yeah, the one time we did, we shot up a softball game and only managed to wing Steve Scalise. Are you kidding me? We're awful at shooting.
We're terrible at this job.
But yes, we're really good at Civil War.
Democrat shot a Republican president in the first assassination in this country, but those roles have since reversed. So, yeah.
I mean, look at what left-wing weirdo. We fucked up the Reagan one.
Mm-hmm.
Shot him in the love handle? Are you kidding me?
Yep.
You're bad at this. That's you were 4 feet away. No wonder Republicans make fun of us and don't think we own guns.
Oh, God, that TikTok just made me laugh so hard.
Which one?
So it was a TikTok where it starts out with a guy saying, is it moral something to buy a painting by a guy who shot Ronald Reagan?
Oh.
And then it's a stitch to this other girl who comes on and says, nah. Yeah, no, because he missed.
It's fair.
I love that one. I've watched it so many times.
I laughed so fucking hard. Oh my! It was one of those shotgun laughs like Jeff has. I was like, oh my God, it was so funny.
So he's brought it up in that thing he did when Trump skipped the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Brought it up being assassinated with. Keeps bringing it up. Says, and I quote, if you begin with criticism, then you go to protest, then you go to impeachment, now you go to indictment, and none of those work. What's next? Graph it out, man. We're speeding toward assassination, obviously. They have decided, permanent Washington, both parties have decided that there's something about Trump that's so threatening to them, they just can't have him. I don't know, and I mean this, one fucking lefty that has talked about assassinating the president of the United States. I know some lefties that have talked about smacking him in the mouth, you know, but for the most part, we talk about why can't we get our shit together and run a candidate that's as good as Joe Biden? Well, maybe 30 years younger. That's where I'm at, you know, because again, like I have said 1,000 times, I love Joe Biden. I love him. I don't have a Joe Biden flag. I don't have Joe Biden stickers on my car at the moment. I will probably later this year, you know, when they make one that doesn't give me hives. It's all about design, folks. That's all I'm saying.
It really is about the design. Yeah.
And I would have a Dark Brandon coffee cup if they weren't 12 ounces. Who drinks 12 ounces of coffee? That's how you practice to start drinking your coffee in the morning. That's how much I lick off my fingers when I've made a mess pouring my first 30-ounce cup.
I was going to say, that's like my coffee cup when I'm, you know, because coffee gives me an upset stomach. So if I'm going to have coffee, I don't drink a lot of it. So I could have the 12-ounce, I'd be okay. But still doesn't seem like a lot.
No, then the Dark Brandon cup is all for you, babe.
Yep. I'll take the Dark Brandon. Because I also love Joe Biden, especially now.
I would say a 12-ounce cup. I fill it. I put a little creamer in it. I'm standing in the kitchen. I take a sip. And now I have to refill it.
Yep.
I'm just saying, I have a 26, a 28, and a 30-ounce coffee cup. Those are my three cups I drink from every morning. I have 2 cups of coffee a day. That's it. Any more than that, I get the jitters.
Well, of course, those 2 cups are 60 ounces of coffee.
Look, you know, you don't know my life.
I don't even drink coffee.
What?
I don't drink coffee. I don't drink caffeine.
What? What are you drinking? Beer?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well,
caffeine does nothing for me. Nothing.
I am both shocked and saddened.
I'm not saddened. It tastes weird.
I don't know what coffee does to me anymore. It is part of the DNA. It's basically the juice with which my cells must swim each day, because every day there's a 60-ounce influx of it. I don't know how the fuck I'd live without it. You know, and that's not to say that forgetting a cup of coffee in the morning will usually trigger a headache, and a headache could trigger a migraine and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm afraid to stop drinking coffee. But the truth is, if I wake up in the morning and I smell coffee, I get out of bed. Mm-hmm. It is a motivator. Ah. Yeah.
Now that works for me. If I smell coffee, I want to get up. Even though I don't dare drink a lot of it, I will get up.
It's the best part of waking up.
And the thing is you don't really, I don't really smell tea. You know, the same way that the coffee just wafts throughout the house, and tea is like in the mug. That's why I can smell it. So
I don't think I've ever seen a commercial of a Brit sniffing a cup of tea and going, ah.
Yeah, exactly. Never. No.
Nothing. Nope.
Well, I mean, why would they do it in America? They're mad about it.
Because coffee. We sniff our coffee and go, ah. Mm-hmm. Because coffee smells good and tea smells like hot water. With leaves in it. Don't get me wrong.
On the tea. Yeah, sometimes it smells like grass.
I like tea. Sure. I like Prince of Wales tea is one of my favorites. Scottish breakfast is one of my favorites.
Scottish breakfast. I've been drinking that lately.
Yeah.
And
Irish breakfast. I've had some of that recently.
Yeah. I've got some Irish breakfast, and I've got Scottish afternoon tea as well.
There's afternoon tea too. That's grand.
As well. Well, you know, you have to have your tea time in the afternoon.
Who makes that?
I enjoy a cup of tea, and that's pretty much what I drink in the mornings, is a cup of breakfast tea. But yeah,
it's got to be a black tea.
It has to be black. I used to really like green tea, but I've kind of gotten off of that just because I prefer black tea.
I like green tea when I'm sitting down in a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, that's when I like green tea.
Yeah,
absolutely.
When you ginseng want a cup of grass. Thing.
Yeah. I like green tea. I just, it's got to be in theme. It's got to be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
The only appropriate time for me is if I have chopsticks in my hand. I mean, that's really it. That's when I drink tea.
I mean, in reality, I should drink more of it because it's really good for you. But I just don't have a taste for it as much as I did in my pretentious 30s, you know.
I wasn't going to say shit. Just so you know, I was not going to bring up your pretentious 30s at all.
Yeah.
Running around all the time with a mug of green tea and a gi.
Yep.
Let me teach you how to meditate, pretty lady. I remember. But yeah, Tucker. Tucker is obsessed. To the point that I think that Tucker is going to make an assassination attempt against Trump because he's going to get sick of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
That'll be fun.
I got to tell you guys, the fact that we're ignoring that Steve Scalise joke is just actually breaking my heart a little bit. We are at the end of the show.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I'll get over it. We're at the end of the show.
Maybe.
As we tend to do at this time. What we have over on Patreon, where you can join us every week that we record at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. I swear to God, people are still spelling it defend, and that's not what it is. It's short for defenestrate, which apparently I am told by certain DJs here in the area that that's a hard word to spell. I don't believe so, but I defer to the guy who's got more listeners than I do.
Yes.
Defend Media. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball. We're going to talk a little bit of pumpkin spice, which is not what you think. A little bit of crime, a little bit of exorcism. Okay.
My favorite.
And a little, A little bit of bribery. That's we got all of that up in Patreon. So join us over there, patreon.com/dfenmedia. It is economical and entertaining, and it is as much of a value for, you know, however many bucks a month as dropout.tv. Yeah, I'm on that one. Anyway, thanks for recording, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/dfenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.